Self-care isn't selfish. It's sacred. Reclaim rest, renewal, and wholeness as acts of faithful discipleship. Join Sycamore Creek for this 4-week series to break free from burnout and embrace God's call to holistic well-being. Your soul needs a rest. Let's find it together.
Have you ever had too much on your plate? Have you ever taken something on that you regretted taking on? Have you ever struggled to stop doing something you don't really want to do? Have you ever tried to figure out how to say no to something or to someone? If you're anything like me, I can answer yes to every single one of those questions. Today, we're going to be talking about boundaries. And as I often do, I'm going to be preaching to myself because, well, having good, healthy boundaries is incredibly difficult. I have room to grow in this area of my life. And my guess is that most of you have room to grow too. Yeah, I remember when my kids were little trying to navigate boundaries with them around touch. Now, some of that was their touching each other and boundaries around that. Now, some of that was them touching me. You know, when they were little, they would put their dirty little hands everywhere, like into my eyes, into my mouth, like up my nose. And I know they were just curious, but they were all over me. And my wife, Jana, and I, we had to teach them appropriate touch, both with us and with others. And that was important work to do because boundaries help us love ourselves and others. And when it comes to boundaries, we can't have such hard boundaries that we never care for people or never let anyone get close. And we also can't have no boundaries at all because, well, we'd never care for ourselves then and for our own needs. We all need boundaries. And good, healthy boundaries, they require wisdom and flexibility, often way more than I have. Jesus quoted the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy when he said the two greatest commandments are you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. And we often gloss over that last phrase, as yourself. That's a critical piece of the second commandment. Jesus tells us to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. Well, and this is important because it's possible to be so others-focused that we never develop our own authentic identity. Or we struggle to maintain that identity in the face of life's pressures, and that's not loving yourself. This is incredibly challenging because it goes hand in hand with loving others. Boundaries involve a tension that constantly must be managed. So we're going to conclude our discussion today on sacred self-care. Self-care is intimately linked with loving ourselves, and it's important work that, well, only you can do for yourself. So let's pause a moment for a chat question about this. What's one thing that you love to do, a self-care practice, that helps you to love yourself? Let's take a moment and let's talk about that. Today we're wrapping up our series, Sacred Self-Care. And we're going to explore a self-care practice that helps us establish and maintain a self to care for, boundaries. But we'll find that boundaries are a form of emotional and relational self-care. Now, this Sacred Self-Care series has been based on a book of that name by Dr. Shaniqua Walker Barnes. Dr. Walker Barnes is a clinical psychologist and a professor of practical theology and pastoral care at Columbia Theological Seminary. And in this series on self-care, we've learned that, well, self-care is not selfish. Self-care is sacred. We've also learned that emotions are not the enemy of reason. They are companions to it. We can honor our emotions as part of self-care. And finally, we've discussed that our minds are sacred. They are not machines and they require care. And as we've talked about self-care, we've also been continuing in our series on the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus' most famous teaching found in Matthew 5-7. Jesus said in that sermon, "That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life. Whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear, isn't life more than food? In your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. So today we're going to connect these two things: boundaries that help us care for ourselves and love ourselves and others, and not worrying, seeking first God's kingdom. So loving ourselves as we love others. Now, that's the goal, and it's going to flow from self-care being sacred. So let's work toward this, starting with boundaries. Boundaries help us define who we are and who we are not. They establish, define, and safeguard what we will and will not do, what we will or will not allow, practice, or accept. And good boundaries are clear, they're flexible, and they allow some things through. Good boundaries honor our needs and our desires and our limits. Good boundaries determine who gets access to us and how much access they get. Good boundaries can be configured differently for different circumstances and people. Good boundaries allow us to meet our own needs in relationships. And when we have good, healthy boundaries, we're able to meet our own needs while being in relationship with other people. And that's loving ourselves, and that's self-care. Now, in contrast, when we lack good, healthy boundaries, we yield control of ourselves to other people. And this is our work of self-care. Other people can't set our boundaries or limits for us. We'll either get less than what we need, or we'll have more demands placed on us that we cannot meet. And a huge part of what I do as a pastor is to navigate relationships. That's me with some of the young people in Teen Fuel during a service project. I navigate relationships with volunteers to get things done that accomplish our mission as a church. I navigate relationships through caring for people and the things that are going on in their lives. I navigate relationships with leaders who help us accomplish our mission. I navigate relationships in the community. I reach out to share God's love with others. Relationships, relationships, relationships. Now, all this interacting with people and the messiness of doing that makes me realize why some pastors love to go and hang out in the church in their office, where they can retreat and parse Greek verbs or something by themselves, away from people. In the midst of all my different relationships, it's really challenging to know when to flex and give more of myself in certain situations or circumstances, and when I need to have a boundary, and when I need to say no. Because I need time for myself. I need time for my family. I need time for friends. And the pull of the church and all those relationships, it's so strong. I have to remind myself again and again that my own needs are important, and I need to have boundaries that are good. Boundaries help us to love ourselves and others. Now, we know boundaries are good because God created a world that is filled with boundaries. There are all sorts of boundaries all around us that are found in nature. You know, the ocean is different than the sky. One creature is different than another. Creation is full of boundaries that separate one thing from another. We could even assert that the first sin of humanity involved a boundary violation. God gave us human beings a boundary: don't eat of that tree. And we cross that boundary. And from the world around us, we learn that boundaries are good, they're necessary, and they're holy. And we all probably realize at some level that boundaries are a good thing. But setting and maintaining boundaries is still daunting. How do we do it? And how do we do it well? Now, this is a huge topic. There's no way I can cover everything on boundaries today. And a reminder that this is self-care boundaries. So I'm going to focus on what you can control, on you and your boundaries. So let's start with boundary setting. There's some steps to boundary setting, and the first one is to determine the type of boundary you need. This requires knowing ourselves enough to know what our needs are. The type of boundary you set is up to you. So what do you need? In preparing this message, I found lots of helpful websites on boundaries, and I have one website that's up on the screen, which I found through mindfulcenter.org. Now, I don't know anything about this organization, and I'm not trying to promote it at all, but I love this list of different types of boundaries, and it really got my imagination going on the possibilities for boundaries. And if you want to check it out, it's available through the link tree for each of our campuses, and the link to that is on the screen. I'll try not to geek out too much on this, but let me give you a few examples of different types of boundaries. And so physical boundaries are guidelines that we establish to protect our physical space and our bodies. Physical boundaries pertain to your comfort with physical touch, with personal space, with privacy. And physical boundaries can be extremely personal and can vary from person to person. For instance, while one person might be comfortable with really close touch and proximity, the other person might prefer more personal space. And this is where you get to choose your physical boundaries. Physical boundaries you set might be around personal space. This includes the physical space around you that you consider personal and that you don't want others to invade without your consent. It's proximity. How close do you allow people to get to you? For example, preferring not to have people stand too close to you, that's a personal space boundary. We also have physical boundaries around touch. Your comfort level with touch is a significant part of physical boundaries. This could be related to who can touch you, when they can touch you, where, how they can touch you. For instance, you may be comfortable with a handshake, but maybe you're not comfortable with a hug. These sorts of physical boundaries make sense, don't they? We all set these, and you probably set many of these physical boundaries with people around you without you even realizing it. And those boundaries are gonna vary from person to person. I'm much more open to close proximity with my children, though maybe not with their fingers in my eyes, than I am open to close proximity or touch with a stranger. With strangers, we usually prefer a little bit of space. Now, another example of boundaries are emotional boundaries. These are the limits and rules we set for ourselves within relationships regarding our feelings, our thoughts, and our emotional needs. Now, emotional boundaries, they help us separate our own feelings from the feelings of others. Emotional boundaries help us to take care of ourselves by taking responsibility for our own emotions and needs while not taking on the emotions and needs of others, unless we choose to, and we can choose. Emotional boundaries include taking responsibility for your own emotions. You are responsible for your own feelings and reactions. No one can make you feel a certain way. You're responsible for your feelings and actions. For instance, if someone upsets you by saying something careless or unkind, you're responsible for communicating your feelings and dealing with them appropriately. They didn't make you feel something. Now, the flip side of this taking responsibility for our own emotions and having boundaries around them is not taking responsibility for others' emotions. You're responsible for your own feelings, and other people are responsible for their own feelings. For example, you are not responsible for making someone else happy or for solving their problem for them. Whew, I'll tell you, that's a tough boundary to have. And just like with physical boundaries, these sorts of boundaries make sense, don't they? I mean, you probably have some of these, or at least aware of these boundaries around emotions. And these are especially helpful during emotionally charged situations. It's really hard to be responsible for your own emotions while not taking on responsibility for someone else's emotions. And again, these boundaries are all found on this website through mindfulsaturn.org, and there are so many different boundaries that we can set. I could spend a lot of time admiring all these boundaries, but let me just quickly list some of these other boundaries that are found on this website. So other boundaries could include intellectual boundaries, time boundaries, sexual boundaries, material boundaries, digital boundaries, relationship boundaries, work boundaries, spiritual boundaries, financial boundaries, social boundaries, personal boundaries. Whew, that's a lot of different types of boundaries, isn't it? One more time. You can view that list to get your imagination going at mindfulcenter.org. And again, boundaries are critical for self-care because boundaries help us love ourselves and others. But with all these different types of boundaries, and there are loads of possibilities, it's up to you to choose them. So let's take a moment to reflect on boundaries and where you might already have some boundaries in your life. Here's our next question for discussion. What's an example of one boundary that you have, and how does that boundary help you? Let's take a moment and let's discuss that. We start self-care through healthy boundaries by determining the type of boundary that you need. Having and setting boundaries is critical to loving yourself well. Next, we determine the type of boundary that you need. We've talked about that. Then we directly and clearly communicate your boundary to others. communicate to others. This is a step where many of us get tripped up. We have a boundary right in our mind, but we don't communicate it well with others. And then we get frustrated or angry when someone crosses the boundary they weren't aware of. I hate it when that happens. And it's hard to spend a lot of time with someone else and to never forget to communicate a boundary. My wife, Jana, and I have had lots of discussions around touch in our marriage and about what we're comfortable with or what we're not comfortable with in terms of touch. For example, neither of us like to be tickled. I hate being tickled. Do not tickle me. I have a boundary around tickling in my house. And we've communicated that boundary with each other, which brings me back to my first example of a boundary, physical boundaries. Again, these are guidelines that we establish to protect our physical space and our bodies. Now, one example of a physical boundary is a boundary around touch. I just gave you an example of that. I already told you that Jana and I don't like to be tickled. In a close relationship like I have with my wife, Jana, I can be direct with her and I can say, please don't tickle me, or I will move away from you, or I'll maybe even leave the room. And if you tickle me, well, we might need to have a talk to get into right relationship again. And that talk will be about respecting my boundary about not tickling me. Now, there are lots of forms of touch, though, particularly around how we greet one another. And so if you don't want to be hugged in a greeting by someone, a healthy, very direct way to communicate that need might be, I'm not comfortable with hugging. I would prefer a handshake or just a wave. That's pretty direct, isn't it? Now, maybe you can't do that. You're not comfortable with that, but maybe you use your body language to create a boundary around hugging, right? So if someone comes in for a hug, you just take a step back and you maintain some space. You've immediately communicated a boundary around touch. Or you can be proactive in your boundaries around touch and offer others options when you greet them by saying, hey, how about a handshake or a high five? What do you prefer? Notice a hug wasn't on that list. When communicating a boundary, it can be also helpful to diffuse any tension with humor. So, you know, poke fun at yourself or what you're comfortable or uncomfortable with. Be humble, be self-deprecating about your boundaries. You know, say something like, I know this might be kind of weird, but I prefer handshakes over hugs. Set the boundary by communicating your comfort level, in this case, with touch. And again, this is true of any boundary, and it isn't true that, you know, touch will vary from person to person and from situation to situation. Good boundaries are flexible and they help us to love ourselves and others. So that's communicating a physical boundary. Let's also take a quick look at communicating emotional boundaries because, well, emotional boundaries can be tricky to navigate, right? So again, emotional boundaries are the limits and rules that we set for ourselves within relationships regarding our feelings, thoughts, and emotional needs. Now, most often, taking responsibility for your own emotions involves an I feel statement. For example, you might say, when you said that, I felt hurt. I understand you might not have meant to upset me, but I want to let you know how I feel. Now, I feel statements are important for taking responsibility for your own emotions. You feel what you feel. Own it. But it's also really important that we not take responsibility for others' emotions. If someone is telling you about a difficult situation at work or with a relationship or with a health diagnosis, don't take their responsibility for their emotions. So you might say something like, I'm so sorry that you're feeling that way. It's really hard for me to see you upset, but it's not my responsibility to fix things for you. I'm here to listen and to understand and to support and encourage you. See, here's the thing. You're responsible for your own emotions. That's self-care. You're not responsible for the emotions of others. Now, clear communication around our boundaries, it's going to help us to love ourselves and others. So we've determined the type of boundary we need, that's first. We've clearly communicated that boundary, that's next. And well, now comes the time to live out the boundary. This is where we need to follow up the boundary with action. Follow up the boundary with action. Don't violate your own boundaries. And let other people know when they cross your boundaries and be consistent with your boundaries. And oh my word, this is so hard to do. Boundaries need to be clear. Boundaries need to be returned to again and again because boundaries help us to love ourselves and others. I love toddlers because they're so good at pushing boundaries. Just ask any parent of a toddler. Toddlers, especially, you know, the age like 2 to 4 years old, they're super talented at pushing boundaries and finding the limits. And adults can be pretty good at it too, right? This is what people do. And sometimes it's intentional, but often it's not. We just do it. And just like with a toddler, having clear boundaries, communicating those boundaries and upholding those boundaries, it's kind. It's good parenting. It's good self-care. Boundaries help us love ourselves and others. Clearly communicate your boundaries and then follow up with appropriate action. So I know with Jana that we will not tickle one another. We just don't do it. And I know that because Jana is going to uphold that boundary with me as if I uphold it with her. I know that because Jana has left the room before when I tried to tickle her, and we've had to have a discussion to get back into right relationship because I crossed her boundary and we had some work to do together, especially from my end. Good work, Jana, upholding your boundaries. Don't let people cross your boundaries. Use the boundaries you have decided are best for you. Let's pause to think about our boundaries and how we live out using those boundaries. Here's our next question for discussion. Think of a boundary that you have. How do you communicate that boundary with others? Let's take a moment and let's discuss that. If you decide to let a boundary go, well, that's your choice. But don't let someone force or coerce you into changing your boundaries. It's not loving yourself well. Stick up for your boundaries and work to be as consistent as possible with the boundaries that you choose. And finally, here's the last step to boundary setting. Manage your discomfort when you are holding firm to your boundaries. Boundaries are tough, and upholding boundaries is so hard to do. For many of us, we feel anxious about whether we're disappointing others and how their relationship will be impacted by our boundary. And we might worry about losing the relationship or future opportunities. And well, this discomfort with boundaries is so real. And here's where we bring together worry with boundaries. If we don't manage our own discomfort with setting and maintaining boundaries, that discomfort becomes a boundary violator. Our own worry about what other people think can prevent us from having good, healthy boundaries. Ouch. Excessive worry can harm our ability to have good, healthy boundaries. If we're constantly worried about everything, but especially what others think about us, it's hard to love ourselves well. Boundaries are constructed through hard work, and they have to be maintained regularly. They have to be revisited regularly. I want to encourage those of you who wrestle with boundaries. This is really tough stuff, and it's not one size fits all. Boundaries are especially hard for people who are on the underside of power. Boundaries are complex and complicated and nuanced, but for all of us, boundaries are worthwhile and they are important for self-care because boundaries help us love ourselves and others. I mentioned earlier the creation. Creation is filled with boundaries, and one of those boundaries is out of our time and energy and abilities. We need to remember that we're finite human beings who were made to have limits. This boundary stuff is so challenging, even in faith communities. Dr. Walker Barnes notes that we live in a society that's steeped in capitalism, which is based on a scarcity mentality. And when we have that scarcity mentality, well, we view productivity as a sign of blessedness. And I would summarize it this way. Capitalist Christianity is that to be blessed is to be productive. And if we see every opportunity as a blessing from God and a sign that we're needed and valued by others, it tempts us to take that opportunity, every request that comes our way. It's so easy to assume that every opportunity is an obligation and every request is a demand. The opportunities around us for all sorts of good things are limitless. And we're finite human beings who are made to have limits. We must have boundaries where we say no. In fact, we must say no. Boundaries help us love ourselves and others. Not every opportunity is an opportunity we need to take. And knowing who we are, it helps us to prioritize. Knowing who we are helps us to see choice and possibility where we might be tempted to only see obligation and duty. Self-care encourages us to learn our limits and to set boundaries around those limits. From Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, it's important to remember that boundaries are a part of our words or vows. And when it comes to boundaries, to let your yes mean yes and your no mean no. Anything more than this comes from the evil one. As we establish and revisit boundaries, one of the most important ways we have of setting and maintaining boundaries is the word no. And yet this word can be so hard to use, especially when our desire is for something good. Like with anything in life, the more you practice the way you want to do something, the better you get at it. So I want to encourage us to be a community together where we practice saying no. Have that boundary. And I have to let you in on a secret. I ask people all the time to do things for church, and I really appreciate it when someone has clear boundaries. There are lots of good reasons for saying no to something, and there are lots of kind ways to say it. For example, we can say no due to timing. That sounds like a great opportunity, Mark, but the timing doesn't work for me. I can respect that boundary. Or we can say no due to a lack of time. Hey, I'm realizing that I don't have time to do this well. Can we reschedule? I love it when someone sets that boundary. A community that practices saying no is a community that values boundaries for ourselves and for others, because boundaries help us love ourselves and others. Love yourself and others well by setting boundaries, communicating them, upholding them, and letting go of the worry of having to please others. Boundaries based on our priorities will help us together to live out the words of Jesus, to seek the kingdom of God above all else, and live righteously, and God will give you everything you need. Amen.